Welcome to the Proud to Be of Rust and Glass podcast. Today's guest is Brian Lowe. He's a local artist in Toledo, and his art is a bit of a mixed bag. He really specializes in portraits and graphite, acrylic abstracts, and fan art. We're super stoked to have you on the show today, and I don't really want to waste any time. I would like to jump right into talking about art with you, if you're ready.
I'm ready. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. Before we really jump in, can you tell us about Brian the Human?
I could tell a little bit. What would you like to know?
Have you always lived in Toledo? Are you from here?
No, I'm not from Toledo originally. I'm a transplant from a couple different places. Born in Detroit, and a large family full of creative people with Southern roots. So I've been around a little bit. I call Northwest Ohio my home now.
Very cool. How long have you been here?
Oh, Lord. Oh, well over 30 years.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
definitely
I'm here.
That's definitely long enough to be considered a Toledoan.
I'm a Toledoan.
Yeah. I love it. I just realized I've been here 20 years, I think, now. So I think I've lived here longer than anywhere else. So that's officially Toledoan, too.
I'm a Toledoan.
Wouldn't ask for anything else. Other than that, what would you say you're like most passionate about in life besides your art?
I'm family oriented. I love my family. The people are everywhere. They're spread out from the north to the south. So I try to stay connected with family, friends, and you know, God. God, I love my God. So those are the things that are most passionate for me.
Beautiful. Those are great things to be passionate about. Those are definitely things that will get you out of bed in the morning. Every
Absolutely.
Day, right? I love it. So when did art first find you? I know you said you're from a creative family, but when did you first start getting into it?
Funny story. I have a couple older siblings. They're fraternal twins. One's left-handed, one's right-handed. As the story goes, when I'm a little kid, I'm reaching out with my left hand. The right-handed older brother didn't like that, so he smacked my hand, and then the other one would come by, smack my hand, and put the crayons in vice versa hand. So I've been confused ever since on which hand I'm supposed to use. But, I'm primarily right-handed, and you know, I had a lot of influence through siblings saying, you know, hey, check this out, you know, set of crayons, maybe try this. And so I got immersed in art at the age of 3.
Okay.
And I've been going with it ever since.
Awesome. Never looked back after you picked up that first crayon, huh?
Well, there's times that, you know, as the artists say, people struggle with their art, and you know, I've had those moments, but I've been going since I'm 3.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. And other than your siblings, who sounds like were very artistic as well, do you have other family members who have been artists or writers or anything like that that have been influences in your life?
Oh, absolutely. Some of them much younger than me as well, and just incredibly talented people that have done some amazing things, and I'm very happy for them. So if you're listening to me now, keep doing it.
When you guys get together for like holidays or things like that, is there like a little like unspoken competition? Like, hey, this is what I've done this year. This is what I've done this year.
Oh, well, talking competition, when I was little, I'd always cover my work up with the paper and say, don't look, I'm not done yet, you know. And I'd always wanted to be better than somebody else. But now it's with me, it's more, hey, this is great. Keep doing it. I love seeing what you're doing. And I think, what was it, Picasso said, all artists are thieves. You know, you did that, I'm going to steal that and use it for myself now. But yeah, I guess there's a little bit of competition. You know, just try to keep pushing to do what you want to do with it. If you want to say be better or move on to the next level, however you want to word that.
So more friendly competition. Like, oh, that's
absolutely
amazing.
Absolutely.
I think you did really good on that. But
yeah,
I know you can do better because you are better.
Exactly.
I love it. I absolutely love it. How would you – so we sort of obviously stole a line off of your website online for describing you as an artist. But how would you describe your art style?
My art style, boy, it's ever-changing, I think. But I talked with one of my friends, because this is a tough one for me. They said that my work is becoming more, I don't know what the word she used, but it was more like more refined. Yeah, I really don't know. Just whatever comes to mind, I'm going to sit down and draw it.
Do you have any subject matter or any things that you really enjoy doing?
I enjoy doing things for people when they ask me. Here lately I've been having people ask me that have lost a pet.
Oh.
And that's challenging for me because fur is like, one hair goes this way, one hair goes that way. Mm-hmm. So that's been a bit of a challenge, but I like doing that. But, you know, drawing people, I really enjoy it, trying to capture the emotion that a person is giving in the moment that a picture's taken, mm-hmm. especially when the eyes are done. If I'm getting the eyes done on a portrait, then it's sort of like looking at me. I don't want to sound weird, but, you know, your picture's sitting there and it's got eyes looking at you and saying, come on, finish drawing me.
Kind of judging you from the paper a little bit.
Not judging me from the paper. It's like it's time to get back to the drawing board and finish this up. Right. And so, yeah.
That's really interesting that you said a lot of the artists we've had on this show before, when we've talked to them about the artwork they like to do, have mentioned commissions, have mentioned pictures that they do for other people as sort of like, this is a necessity for me to be able to do my own stuff. This is something that pays the bills. You know, I enjoy doing it. I'm good at it, but I really like to do my own thing. But in order to do my own thing, in order to afford the supplies, the marketing costs, the things like that, like in order to do those, I really have to take more time than I'd like to do commissions for other people. But it sounds like that is something that you really, really do get a lot of joy out of.
Absolutely. I mean, art isn't the first thing that brings the money in for me. Mm-hmm. I'm an artist. I don't like putting any adjectives in front of that, mm-hmm. but it was a hobby for the longest time. And I have a dear friend that I went to school with said, hey, maybe you should do something more with this. And I made a little art page on social media, and I'm like, hey, cool. See where it goes. And I have a meager following, and so
a meager following is better than no following. Most people are, so that's amazing.
I'm totally humbled by it.
Do you have any particular pieces that you've done for people that really stick out in your mind as like, I really loved this one, this was one, you know, this was a standout among the rest of the works that I've done?
One comes to mind where it was a tribute piece for a person that became friends with, mm-hmm. who was friends with a mutual friend, and they had lost their aunt, and her aunt loved horses very well. Okay. And I did a piece for her with her aunt and a horse. Boy, that took a long time.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like it probably took a lot out of you, too. I can imagine if it was me.
Yeah.
That would be very emotionally
exhausting
doing that. And I'm sure you collaborated with her back and forth, and you know, that sounds like an amazing tribute, but also not an easy piece to have to get through.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I really don't know the person, mm-hmm. and didn't know their aunt at all, mm-hmm. but I'm going through a mutual friend. They're saying, hey, they're interested. Mm-hmm. So I took it on because, like, you know, I know what it's like to lose somebody, right. and if something I could do to help do that. I drew a dog one time for someone in a social media group that likes watching old scary movies. And that's one of my things to do, is I like scary movies. Some of the folks would share pictures of their dog watching a movie with them in the social media group. And their dog passed away. Aww. And during the show, I just scrolled through and found some cute pictures of it. And I sat there and was doodling a picture of their dog. And I shared it in there. And like, hey, well, we will pay you for this. No, you won't. I will send this to you. Please just let me do that. No. It would make me so happy. And I gained two more friends out of that.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
That's you said friends very specifically. I love that about art and how it brings people together.
It really does. It really does.
What is something about being an artist that people who aren't in that creative world might not really understand as a reality that we have to deal with?
I'm glad you asked that question. When you hear about creative genius and art block and, you know, or creative block, mm-hmm. people, I'm not exempt from that. When I'm doing art and people say, like, you're in the zone, you feel like you just can do whatever and create a masterpiece, or, you know, then everything's subjective at that point, of course. And then there's times that when you're doing art, you're like, you want to do it, but you can't. I think every artist listening right now can probably relate to that.
You don't want to do it, but you have to.
Yeah. And you're like, you know, I just can't. You have to set it down because you don't want to produce anything that's not worthy of being shown. Mm-hmm. So I talked with my youngest child, and she said, Dad, that's probably your brain's way of saying you need to focus on something else. And I'm like, well, you know, I think you got something there. But I was always one to say to my kids, if you're struggling in school or friends, you know, part of my work, or you're struggling with something, find a way to make it fun, and it will be a lot easier for you. Mm-hmm. I was listening to a TED Talk, and a guy said on there about creative genius and how there were geniuses in the, you know, art world and whatnot. He goes, but most artists, their IQs aren't much different than their peers. But I was like, okay, I can agree with this. He goes, what artists have that other people don't is this incredible ability to make things fun, you know, like a childlike fun. So when you're in there drawing and you're making the weird faces or the sound effects as you're drawing, you know, that's me. And then just like I had this epiphany moment, I'm like, wow, you know, I've known this all my life, and this is the other half of the equation that my daughter tells me. Right. And at that point, I remembered, I just got to remember how to make this fun. If there's, and a lot of times life comes at you, and or sometimes you just get in your own way.
Right.
And just remember how to get back to the fun and get back to the drawing board and create and have fun with it. And you'll be amazed what you can do.
Do you have any specific ways that you get back to the fun when you sort of fall out of it? Do you have any like rituals or, you know, like reminders to yourself, or how do you get back to that space when you fall out of it?
Well, art starts with a thought, you know, and then it gets down to the last pencil mark or paint stroke, whatever it is you're doing before it's completed. So the initial thought, I'll let it ponder around a little bit, and I'll start creating in my head what's this piece going to look like. And then I kind of build myself up to it and get myself, you know, stoked up to go have some fun. And then I have a gratitude list, things I'm thankful for. That too many things to list right now, I'd talk your whole show out. Right. So,
have 30 minutes of what we're thankful for. I love it. It's a practice that I'm trying to do more, because I find myself sometimes getting bogged down and minor inconveniences in life that sort of derail my writing, derail my creative path. And I feel like that sort of practice is something that would really help with that.
I'm glad I was able to help with that. You know, it absolutely helps me, and I think it could help anyone else, but they try it.
Absolutely. What would be for you sort of the hardest part about being an artist?
Those times when it's hard to apply those things. I did a portrait for a really good friend of mine, of him and his wife, and I had suffered some losses in my family, and it was really hard to get back to the drawing board because I couldn't focus. You know, with a lot of support and love from family, friends, and my church and whatnot, I was able to get back to, I don't know how to put it in words exactly, just get back to like, okay, I can do things for me and mine. And
get back into that right space.
Get in the right space, exactly.
Very cool.
And so, yeah, no one's exempt from it. When you have hardships, it's okay to reach out to say, hey, you know, I'm struggling here. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be alone with it.
Right. Even the hot shots who all we see is their victories and their new publishing contracts and their amazing art gallery opens, and they're just, you know, everything that they walk on seems to turn to gold. That's just because that's what you see. Even those people have those times in their lives where they face loss or tragedy, or, you know, right, their own brain gets in the way of their happiness and their fun. And it's important to know that everybody deals with that, right?
Exactly. Life is not a reality show. I mean, there takes producers and people behind the scenes to make all those folks look great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. More people behind the scenes than I think I'll ever have, but, you know, yeah. good on them.
Absolutely.
So you actually earlier briefly mentioned that you do some artwork to help the local community, specifically artwork to help with like rehabilitation type things for people.
I do. I volunteer my time. I'm kind of on hold now because I'm a new grandfather.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Well, he's a couple years old, so, but he's still, new, still new.
And, you're still figuring things out, right?
Right, right. So I do, can I name the organization?
Sure. Is it okay?
I do some volunteer work for NAMI, and also where I work at, I do work and utilize my art skills to help people in their recovery.
Very cool.
So it's very rewarding if I have a small little thing to do to help somebody feel better, get better. That pays for itself. Amazing. Right there for me.
So do you think art can really save a life in that regard?
Absolutely. Was it Plato said art imitates life? Mm-hmm. I don't think he was wrong. One of the philosophers is still being quoted today. If you look at it, art has a way of communicating through that imitation. And sometimes people who don't have a voice to speak on things because of the things that's happened to them, art can be a way of communicating so they can express what's going on in their life.
Amazing.
And people who are trained can read that and help them in their journey. I've seen that happen, so it's pretty amazing. It'll draw a tear to your eye to watch it.
You choked up a little bit.
Absolutely.
When did you get into this type of volunteer work?
Well, I had some things happen in my life that geared me around a series of events. It took me to where I couldn't do the work that I was doing anymore. Mm-hmm. So I got into getting some help for things. If I can say, I had my legs messed up at work. You know, there's a bunch of other things I could go into, but I don't want people feeling sorry for me because I'm really happy with who I am today. Right. Art was a big part of that. It helped me get to back to being able to be a productive, happy person, and I'm able to give back. And through those struggles, I realize how important it is to give back. I try to give back more than I did before all those things happened to me. So.
That's really beautiful that you noticed how much that was helpful for you and how you could bring that into other people's lives as well.
I appreciate that.
A lot of people will have things happen and will get through their whatever their recovery process looks like, and then just move on with life without noticing, like, hey, this could be beneficial for other people. Right. And some people, part of their recovery process is giving to the community, and you get so much back, so much more back in return, don't you?
Absolutely. I've got to meet so many nice people.
Add to that long list of friends there, right?
Absolutely. There's so many incredible people in this area as artists, and everybody I know gives back in one way or fashion or another, and I can name a list of people that I can credit, and that would take another segment probably, but I'm so thankful to have those folks, you know, in my realm of friends and people that I can go to mixtures with and go see their art and try to be supportive of it. My house isn't big enough to buy art from everybody, but I try to show up or share things to say, hey, here, check this out. You're going to love it.
That's the rub as a fellow artist. You want to buy everybody's art and support everybody and make everybody, you know, self-sustaining. I don't want to say rich through their art, but self-sustaining through their art. But at the same time, you're an artist trying to get the same thing, right?
Yeah. I have a friend who gave me a tour of their place, and they have portfolios where they've bought art. And said, here, check this out. And flip right over and knew where everything was at. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. That's the dream, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Is there any advice that you would give to newer aspiring artists or maybe artists who are struggling with their work?
And I thought about this question immensely, and this is one of them I asked a few friends about, you know, like, what would you tell somebody?
Giving sage advice is not easy.
I have to go back to what I said earlier. Have fun with it. Make sure while you're doing this, have fun and do it often. If it doesn't look like what you want it to look like, keep practicing and have fun while you're practicing. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you're going to get there. Keep notes. Keep a track of where you're at. Watch where your journey has went from day one, you know, taking pictures of your work or, you know, if you're selling it, if you're lucky enough to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, just keep a track log of things. And I've seen where people have shared their work. This is where I started at a year ago, and look at what I'm doing now. It's like, wow, in a year's time you've done this to do that. And what they were doing initially was actually pretty good. Right. And then a year later, like, it's amazing. And I've seen people, you know, and every artist, you know, loathes it. So if you hear this, please don't say anything about stick figures anymore. but I tell people, if you're drawing a stick figure, make it the best stick figure you can. And then keep working it from that. And yeah, make sure you're having fun with it.
Very cool. It's easy to get lost in the big picture when you're busy making tiny incremental improvements every week of your art and your writing. So for me, I sometimes am like, I should be so much farther along, but I only started in 2018. And I read something I wrote in 2018 and sort of laughed a little bit, you know? And you don't, if you're getting a little bit better every day, it's hard to see that. Unless you take that time to step back and look at that,
right,
and actually examine that instead of looking at, you know, whatever you want at the end of the line.
Exactly.
So you gotta not get bogged down in the big stuff all the time, and sort of pay attention to where you're at.
It's like going to visit relatives when you're a kid. Oh my, you've grown. Like, I did. I'm still the same
as I looked yesterday.
But you know, we both have, you know, beards. You know, like, you know, eventually it grows out so long we got to trim it out. Mm-hmm. So right. Yeah. It takes slow and steady pace.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, where can people check out your work if they're interested in seeing kind of what you're doing?
All right. this is a tribute to my mom. One of my nicknames growing up was Doodle.
Okay.
It was a mom all the time drawing.
We started doodling with crayons at 3 years old.
Three years old. So, yeah, you know, thanks to my siblings helping me out. And one of my brothers drawing on the wall, so my mom made sure we had supplies so we wouldn't draw on the wall no more. Doodles 67 okay. on Facebook and Instagram. And I'm at different events throughout the locality at different times. You might see me there. Come over and say hi.
No, very cool. Very cool. You mentioned there's something in September people can come and check out.
I was selected for the 13th annual Monroe Comic Con, and I'm really happy to, yeah.
A lot of your drawings are, I see a lot of Marvel and superhero stuff and pop culture icons and things like that. So that fits in really well.
Yeah, I'm an old fanboy. It's a lot of fun for me, and people look at my work and have talking points, right? Sometimes take my portfolio and my own art supplies mm-hmm. into work. And we have art supplies there. And
oh, cool.
Show things to people that I'm working with. It's always a fun talking point when someone's interested in art. When people are like, I can't do art, I don't do it. I said, we don't have to be good at it just to do it.
Right. If you enjoy it, why not?
If you enjoy it, why not? Exactly.
So amazing. Well, Brian, thank you so much again for taking the time to come out and see me today and talking about art. I always love talking with artists and writers and getting to know sort of their process and a little bit about them behind their work. So thank you for taking the time to do so.
I appreciate this opportunity. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy the rest of your week.
You as well. Thanks.
This has been today's episode of Proud to Be of Rust and Glass. After experiencing an injury that almost brought his passion for art to a close, Brian learned the power art has for both therapy and rehabilitation. Since then, he's gotten back into the incredible artist that he is, sharing the lessons he learned along the way with the local community. Again, I am your host and producer, Curtis Dieter. Our executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. If you want to join the conversation, check us out at wgte.org/rustandglass. Until next time, thanks for listening. Now go forth and create.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.